chapter number 2. I'm going to read about 5 or 6 verses. And then I'm going to try to give us a little bit of help tonight that I want to encourage us as a church and as families, if the Lord will give you some. If you're like me, it's hard to remember things. Amen. And sometimes it's hard to think of things at the right time. But I'd like to encourage us tonight, if we can, if the Lord will help us. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. This is Paul's first letter to Timothy. He's writing about AD 60, 62. So he's probably got, if he writes about AD 60, he's got about 6 years left before he crosses on over after his head is taken off under Nero. Timothy is pastoring a church. He's the bishop in Ephesus. That's where he's at. And of course, you know, we'll learn about this when we get to the pastoral epistles in our Wednesday night Bible study. And so there's a lot of issues that Paul is dealing with, and a lot of it's very practical. And I want you to look in chapter 2, verse number 1. Paul says this. He says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Let me stop, get a 10-second timeout, and say, hallelujah, amen, I say amen. No other way. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Lord, we sure do thank you for your sweet spirit. Lord, we trust who has helped us in this service, led folks to testify. The young folks, the ladies, the men, everyone who has said something, I sure am grateful that you have let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I pray that you would take what we have read tonight. I ask you, Lord, to use it for your glory, that you would speak to our hearts tonight as only you can. Lord, there needs to be some help this evening, and only you can give it to us. So, Lord, we ask for your blessing. We ask for your help. And, Lord, that you would take this and make not just a doctrinal message as such, but, Lord, to make it practical, Lord, because I know Paul's been very practical here. Help us to do that, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Lord, amen. So, in 1 Timothy, what Paul does, he's writing to give some practical guidance to this young preacher. We don't know exactly how old Timothy was. There are guesses, but we really don't know. But here's one of the things that Paul does. Before I get to chapter, just give us a little bit of background and context. He opens up and says in verse number 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Now, the reason I find that verse interesting is I've been reading a book here lately, and part of the book is on how we know that what books are in our Bible got into the canon, what we call the canon. That's just a word that means rule, the scriptures we have, 27 books in the New Testament. And a lot of people have said, well, when the early writers wrote, they really did not know they were writing scripture. They were just writing to address issues and try to, you know, address situations in different churches. And so they really didn't think they were writing scripture. One of the things that the author pointed out was this. When Paul identifies himself as in verse 1, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior. What he's doing, he is writing from a position of authority, and he is writing not just from a position of authority, but he's writing giving guidance and direction that he expects to be obeyed because of that authority. And so with that, it just opened up all these other verses that I've read over just in introductions and not really thought about, because we can see here that when Paul was writing, he was giving divine, appointed, God-sanctioned directives and advice, if you will, to these people, to these churches that the churches today are still guided by. We go to 1 Timothy chapter number 3. You've got the qualifications for bishops and for deacons. You go to over to 2 Timothy, and we see where, or 1 Timothy 5, it talks about the taking care of the widows and things like that. Well, as he begins to write to this young preacher, there are three things I want us to see, and I'm going to key in on the last one here. Number one, he warns about the danger of false teachers. Verse number two, or number three, of 1 Timothy. Now, some of y'all probably remember Brother Matthew Frank. He was here several, year or two back. He was selling a really, really nice Bible on one of the Facebook places online. And I thought, man, I'd like to, that's a nice Bible. And it's $225. I was going to pay him $225. You know why? Because it's a nice Bible. It's a Cambridge Bible. Amen. If you don't have a Cambridge Bible, you suffer at a great loss. That's all right. I don't have a Cambridge, but I'm using a good one here because I can see it tonight. And I told him, I said, brother, I'd buy that Bible. Some people were complaining about how much the Bible was. I wouldn't pay $200. Well, I've paid that much for a Bible before. And actually more. And I told him, I said, brother, if that thing was not an 11-point type, I said, I would have bought that Bible. Now, I'm not going to buy it because it's just too small print for me. So don't buy it for me. It's just too small print. He's like, how much do you need? I'm like, brother, 12 is too small for me. I mean, I need it like right here. So I'm trying to read this tonight. And if I mess up on the words, you pray for me, all right? Now, I want you to look at verse 3. There it is, verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Look here at verse 4. Neither giving heed to fables, endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in the faith. So do some people think that this endless genealogies, people are trying to justify salvation by their tracing their lineage back to Abraham because of their Jewish heritage. Remember that the Jews believed that they were saved simply because they were Abraham's children. And there were some, no doubt, who tried to bring in a controversy with those preaching salvation by grace simply because they believed they were Abraham's children. So Paul warns about that. And here's the thing we need to see. He opens the book looking at that danger. But here's what's going on. The doctrine that they were teaching a doctrine contrary to what Timothy was to be teaching. And I said all that to say this because one of the things I want to remind us, whenever we have different doctrines preached, that brings confusion. Look, you can believe anything you want to about the millennium. You can be amillennial, you can be premillennial, you can be postmillennial, you can be a panmillennial. What's panmillennial? Well, I don't know when Jesus is coming back, but when he comes back, everything's going to pan out all right. Well, if you want to be a panmillennial, that's fine. But here's the deal. We as a church are premillennial, believing that Christ comes back before the millennium, because it's kind of hard to have a 1,000-year reign without the king. Amen. Amen. And we take those verses in a literal fashion. You could believe something different, but if I get up and I teach premillennial, someone else comes up and says, well, the pastor says this, but here's why I'm amillennial. Somebody else comes in and they says, well, here's why I'm postmillennial. You know what that's called? That's called confusion. But if we have no other doctrine, what is that going to do? Notice what he says down here, verse 4, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. The opposite of the multiple doctrines is a single doctrine that brings the church to edification. That word edify means to build up. And so that's what we want to do. So number one, he warns about false teachers. Number two, since it's kind of where we've been tonight, if you look at verse number 12, he says, and I thank God, Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me for counting me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Number one, he warns about the danger of false teachers. Number two, he brags on God's deliverance of himself and placed him in the ministry. That's kind of what's been happening here tonight. People have testified about the grace of God. And by the way, I'm hoping somebody in here, somebody, the Lord will get a hold of your heart, and you're going to say, man, I really need to go ahead, and maybe you may think about them, try to write it down or try to get it all in your mind, but it doesn't matter to me how you get it. I'd love to hear your salvation testimony. You don't have to tell me the time of day. You don't have to tell me where you were sitting. You don't have to tell me what you were wearing, what the preacher was preaching on, or who your neighbor was. All I want to hear is that you give me that experience that you had where God introduced himself to you. Here's what's going on. Paul said this. He said, who was before? A blasphemer, persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. Jump down to verse number 15. This is a faithful saint and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. And you'll forgive me for being politically incorrect, but if Paul's chief, we all just little Indians, all right? That's all we are. So he is talking about the danger of false teachers. He's giving a testimony of his own personal deliverance. And then he just erupts into praise. Verse 17, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So that's a blessing. Okay, none of that is the message tonight. I just want to give that as introduction just because it's good stuff. Amen. 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 So let's look here just for verse 1 of chapter 2. Chapters 2 through 6 are directions regarding church practice. Okay, so we've got, you know, a danger of false teachers, Paul's own testimony of deliverance. But in chapter 2, all the way to verse number 6, you know, we've got a few doctrinal things delivered in here. But there are directions regarding church practice, how things are to go about. This is very practical, and I want to use this tonight simply because this is where the Lord has given me direction in my heart tonight. So the first thing that he says, look at verse 1. I exhort therefore that, first of all, very first thing I'm going to teach you, very first thing I'm going to give to you is that supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now he says all men, and then, if you will, he narrows that down. So we're praying for these people, but there is a narrowing of that focus into verse number 2 for kings and all that are in authority. So specifically, the prayer that we're looking at here is going to be for leaders. So the first thing under the directions is the priority of prayer, and I'm using this for political leaders. And with the situation that we have going on in the world right now, the church at large needs to be adhering to what these verses are teaching. Now, I want to look at that just for a minute tonight. The priority of prayer for political leaders. You have four words here tonight that are used in regard to the ministry of prayer. In fact, the second word that's used there, prayer, that is the general term that we use to cover everything that's around it. That's the general term. But I want to start with the one that the Lord starts with and just kind of work our way through, and I promise you I will not go past midnight tonight. Don't worry about falling out of the third loft. My middle name's Paul, but I'm not going to preach about, so it's okay. It's all right. So I want you to look at verse number 2. I exhort, therefore, first of all, supplications. Supplications. What is a supplication? This is a request that carries with it the notion of necessity. To supplicate means that on this particular instance, this particular item. Now, this is not so much intercession, because intercession has a person and a situation in mind, but this supplication deals with one specific item that you're bringing before the Lord that He would look at. So, if I were to talk to a political leader, let's go say I was going to meet with one of my state representatives or a senator, I would not go in with a 15-page document saying, here are all the issues that I have problems with. I would go in there, not with a shotgun list, but with bullet points of one or two things that I wanted to drive home. And really and truly, one of the things that we as preachers and as teachers, and some of you fellas as you're up here teaching, Brother Mike, as you're teaching Sunday school, one of the things we want to try to do is not just cover a whole lot of ground like I kind of did this morning. You want to have some bullet points that you can hang some places on. You want to be able to hang your hat or your coat on something and say, I understand that point, I understand this point, I understand this point. And that's exactly what this supplication is. It is a point of contact, if you will, a point of necessity that you are coming to God for this specific situation. Can anybody think of a specific situation that we ought to be supplicating before God about? I'm thinking we probably can. Not just overseas, but for maybe particular instance of maybe somebody has a burden to pray for Putin, and I cannot pronounce the president of Ukraine. I just know this much. That man's got a backbone. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. So I don't need a ride. I need a rifle. Amen. My kind of guy. Amen. That's a man. That's right. Amen. Don't worry. That'll get fact-checked before it's over with. Don't you worry about that. It'll be fact-checked, and it'll go into, yeah. But anyway, somebody may feel burdened to pray for those political leaders. And there's nothing wrong with that. Maybe the way the Lord has got you worked, somebody like a Matthew Barnes, perhaps, would be keyed in on the political leaders. Okay, but let's say this. We know some people who are involved with the whole orphanage situation in Ukraine. And so we may have a supplication, some of us in here, for a specific that specific situation regarding those young people. We would supplicate for their safety, for their protection, for watching over the young man who was here, you know, when the young man was here with Ryan and Abby. But his brother, 16 years old, he's out on the front lines. Say, boy, that's terrible, preacher. That's terrible. Well, just remember that your grandparents' generation, they lied about their age to go fight the Japanese, all right? So I understand. I get all that, and I know we're softer today. I understand that. But having said that, it may be that some of our young people, you're not so much keyed in on praying for the president, but you're keyed in on praying for those young people. Supplicate. Take that one specific request and bring it before God over and over and over and over and over and over again. And then do it over and over and over and over and over until God answers that prayer. So that's what that is. That supplication carries that notion of something having an absolute necessity. That may be what needs to happen for us to get a hold of some of our family members who we've been praying for, that we've not seen anybody, we've not seen any move in them. We're gonna have to get busy. And I know that he doesn't speak about fasting in here necessarily. And I've got to be very careful about saying that, because as soon as you say that, some people think, well, that means automatically I need to fast. Well, that's between you and the Lord. Okay? That's between you and the Lord. I'm not gonna tell you that you have to. If your health is just so bad that you can't fast, just be careful about it. But what I want us to remember is this, that if we're going to supplicate and we're going to get a hold of God for that one specific thing, it may take some special prayer time. I know churches that meet every Saturday night for prayer. Oh, preacher, I'm not meeting on Saturday night for prayer. I'm busy. Well, so am I. Back before, when Donnie Harvey pastored at Galahar back in the late 90s, they got people, the dope heads and the druggies and the trailer parks that were there on Galahar Road, there outside of Kingston. That's the people he won to God. And here's what they would do. They would have revival meetings where they would bring in Sammy Allen, who would preach salvation. Okay? They would have prayer meetings in the houses 4, 5, and 6 weeks ahead of time leading up to the revival meeting, and they would beg God to do something, and God would do something. What do you say we try to might do something like that? Maybe God will do something. Amen. Amen. That would be wonderful to see. I mean, God's able. If he's not able, let's just pack up and go to the house. Right. I mean, I can go home, put up my feet, and watch Randolph Scott and Audie Murphy and just have myself time. Amen. But if God is indeed God, and he is, we have been given a divine order of prayer here, a divine warrant to bring before God and pass this back to him. So there's that supplication. Supplication. Seemed like that's really where I'm kind of keyed in tonight. So wherever it is you might be, Dylan might feel the need to pray for the young men who are in the military over there. And Sarah Beth may feel the need to pray for the young ladies who are having to carry guns as well to defend their homelands themselves and for their own protection. Amen. That may be the case. Somebody may say, let's pray specifically for the missionaries over there. And there are several missionaries whose names, I mean, they're on Facebook and they're trying. I mean, I still don't think that the Kleins are out yet, if I read that right. And they're just, you know, 3 miles from the border. I mean, spent, you know, probably at this point in time, 70 hours in a vehicle And of course, I know they're getting out and been able to get out a little bit here and there. But at the same time, you're thinking about everything that's going on. We really need to supplicate for those folks. And sometimes supplication means that we are willing to not bring anything else before the Lord. There are things we need to bring before God. You know, there are sick folks. There are folks who need to be saved in our church. There are, but maybe there are some things we need to specifically supplicate before God and beg God's grace, beg God's hand move, and realize if God don't move His hand, nothing is going to get done. We can do it in the energy of the flesh. We can try to do it intellectually, every bit of that. But until the Spirit of God moves, nothing is going to accomplish. One of the things we're going to be talking about when I go to Winchester this week and try to teach in that class on apologetics, there's going to be a lot of intellectual material that's going to go out. A lot of history, a lot of the way to look at things, a lot of philosophical issues with the problem of evil and things like that. But at the end of the day, apologetics is not going to get somebody saved. You're simply giving the answer. And once the answer is given, guess what's got to happen? If the Holy Ghost don't move, every bit of that is just all you are is a conduit of information. Good information, godly information, the right information, but still at the end of the day, until God moves on it, it's nothing more than just print on paper. So we need the presence of God. Maybe we need to supplicate that God move. Maybe we need to supplicate that God begins to move. Maybe that's the case. How about we start praying and asking God to move? Amen. I wonder what it would be like if some of our young folks would pray to that effect. Say, you want to copy what other churches do? Well, if it's working, ain't no reason why you shouldn't copy it. Amen. 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 Why do you think Ruger copied Colt? That Colt Peacemaker. The Colt Single Action Army of 1873. Why did they copy? You know why they copied it? Because it works. Amen. Sometimes that copying is exactly what needs to happen because you see a pattern of good works. You see a pattern of God working. Not a thing wrong with that. But we're going to have to do something in regard to prayer. Church, we're going to have to do more of that. And I know we've pushed prayer to the end of the Wednesday night service because of the live stream. We want our folks who watch the live stream not to have to come on at 20 after 7, wonder how long we're going to pray. But we may be incorporating some more prayer time on Wednesday night, not just at the end of the service, but specifically for God to work in certain areas. And there's not a thing wrong with us doing that. We need God to work. We really need the Lord to work. Let me just say, as far as supplication goes, if we are keyed in on the notion of necessity, that God Himself has got to work, and we realize that unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. We have that principle that unless God does it, it's not going to get done. We are all the more going to beg God to do it. If we quit begging God to do it, it's like, well, it really didn't matter anyway. It didn't matter to us. I wonder if our families have not come to Christ. And I can look around at people, and I can name names of people in your family that you've asked us to pray for. I wonder if folks have not come to Christ because we have not supplicated. I wonder. And we've, done a little bit better here with now that we're all back home and in one place. But there for quite a while, there were no family devotions at our house, no reading through the Bible, no time of prayer together, simply because we're in, two geographic locations. And I know you got FaceTime, and I know you could do it that way. That's just not me. Amen. It's hard enough to do a live stream from my desk at the house for a Wednesday night service, let alone try to do it, FaceTiming it. So, but I wonder if we do have time. Dad, if you have time, when you get back to the house, even if you take even if it's 5 minutes, read a verse out of the Bible, have a memory verse for your children where they take what they've learned either in Sunday school or from some Bible curriculum that you use. Put those verses in there. Caleb, at 4 years old, I had him memorize Psalm 23. Psalm 23, 4 years old. And I know Lydia knows, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I know that she knows that. Okay, I know she does. Now, she's probably asleep. Okay, praise the Lord. All right, that's right. Amen. But she knows that. How does she know that? It's because mom has invested time in teaching. And so pour that into them. So, Dad, it may be that we need to spend some time doing those Bible devotions, pouring that time in, and then allowing us to supplicate during that time. So the very first thing that he says here, I exhort, therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, give thanks, be made for all men. Now, you and I may not be able to pray for every single person, but God may key us in on one or two categories of people, one or two positions of people, one or two specific people we know. And it very well could be that your prayer is what does the job. There is no doubt in my mind that there are ladies who supplicated before God back during in the 40s and in the 50s and in the 60s, when we were at war with Germany and Japan, when some of our boys were in Korea, and then when they were in Vietnam. There's no doubt in my mind that many a mother went to her prayer closet and begged God to spare her boy. And the reason that boy walked back home, I guarantee you the reason Donnie Harvey is preaching today is because his mama and daddy got a hold of God and prayed him through. Guarantee it. I know that. And there's no reason you and I cannot have the same testimony, whether it's a missionary, whether it's a friend of ours, whether it's somebody in the orphanage, whatever the case may be, there's no reason we can't do that. Amen. So tell you what let's do tonight. I'm going to stop right there. There's more I've got. That's just the first point. That's not even halfway through what I had. Here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to spend a little bit of time. We're just going to take a couple of minutes. Tell you what I'm going to do. Savannah, I'm not going to have you so much as pray tonight as play. I'm going to let you got your cell phone? Get your cell phone out? Okay. I want you to use your cell phone in church. I am. All right? I'm going to let you use your cell phone in church. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to come up here to the piano, and I'm going to let you play. And you can pray while you play, all right? And I'm going to let you play the piano for 5 minutes, just 5 minutes. That's it. Play us for 5 minutes. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to gather here in the altar tonight, and we're going to whatever, and we're not going to take any prayer requests, but whatever specific supplication you have on your heart, that's what we're going to take up just for 5 minutes. We're not going to, you know, this shouldn't be a time where it's like a, you know, old squirrel type situation where everything kind of runs through your mind. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Specifically, I would ask you that you would pray for the situation in Ukraine. Specifically, I'm going to ask you to pray for that. But how you pray for it, whether it's for political leaders, whether it's for missionaries, whether it's for children, whether it's that fighter pilot keeps knocking the MiGs out of the air, whatever the case may be, you just pray for whatever you feel the Lord wants you to pray for, okay? And we're going to do that tonight. So those of you who would, let's come on in and pray. If you're listening by way of the live stream, we're going to keep it running. You pray right along with us. No reason you can't. You don't have to be in a specific place of prayer, but we want to come in tonight and ask God to do what we can this evening. And I know physically you may not be able to do it, but I want to encourage you to pray tonight if you can, all right? Amen.